Grace be unto you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
And also to you, Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we will still rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we continue in this very deep, very rich book of Colossians. Unbelievable. There are so many sermons that could be pulled out of just this section of Scripture alone. But I remember back in college, a long, long time ago, going to a campus church, Missouri Synod Campus Church, and I've been on fire for the Lord, witnessing, and just on fire for Jesus. And then I go to this campus church, I go, well, it's Missouri Synod, should be okay. Boy, was I wrong. It was a campus church, and it was they were having a Bible study on prayer. And the pastor said, you know, for years and years I've been thinking about this, and maybe I can just say it now. I don't, quite frankly, prayer doesn't mean that much to me. I didn't stay long in that church. I think he went to your seminary, at Lutheran Seminary. I go, you've got it. And I confronted him. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Being a brash young college student, he says, why are you in the business anyway? Let me just get out. He says, you know, I've been thinking about that. Maybe be a counselor. I go, sooner the better. Unbelievable. So, I went to a church downtown in Bloomington, Illinois, and loved it there. Just loved it. Had a great Bible study and great worship, great teaching. And then I became part of a group, a campus group called Navigators. And in Navigators, they really focused on discipleship, growing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the leader was a former missionary in Japan. And he led me through various booklets of different stages in Christ and reminded me of a book that's out of print now that we used to use here called The Purple Book. I don't know why they call it, can't remember why they called it The Purple Book, but it had a lot of the basic teachings of Christianity, fundamentals, if you will, but going to the next step and growing in the faith and not staying as spiritual babies. But it was an excellent book, and I still have three of them that I don't share because they're out of print. But anyway, it's a really good book. And we talked a lot about growing in the faith and growing in the Lord. So today as we gather, this reminds me of the old days when my grandparents would talk about gathering around the radio to listen to a broadcast. So as you gather around the laptop today, this morning, and you're listening to the sermon and the service, may the Holy Spirit fill your house with His love, His peace, and His joy, and the growth that comes only in Jesus. You'll be hearing a lot about that today. Only Jesus. Christ alone, as we sang. All right, so, anyway, the parable of the sower talks about this, that the sower went out and sowed the seed that is the Word of God, and some of it grew, some of it didn't, some of it eventually did. But not all of it, not all the seeds would bear a harvest, right? Only those that were planted in good soil. And so the warning of the parable of the sower is, keep growing in the faith, continue to grow. And so because of that phrase and that theme, we look at Scripture today. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Rooted and build up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So it's one thing, and it's great for people to receive Christ. We really need evangelists that will go out and share the Word and bring people to Christ, and there's no greater joy than that. However, does it stop there? Just have a bunch of babies? No. We talked a lot about some pastors bragging about how many people came to Christ, and they had these big altar calls, and they just counted hundreds of people just because they maybe raised their hand or maybe didn't. That's not what we're talking about here. In this text, and I've talked about this a lot ever since the Navigators kind of put it in my mind, you've got to grow as a Christian. You don't stop growing. And when people stop growing, we as pastors see what happens. You're either growing, going upward, or you're going downward.
Amen.
It's not a level path. So continue to receive Jesus, but continue to live in Him. I want to really camp out on this word, continue to live in Him. Some translations talk about walking in Him, and it is a walk. It's a walk with Jesus every step of the way, and we'll talk about that later. But it says, continue to live in Him. It was the last NBA game of this season, and I was all set to watch the game, a game that never happened, because it was found that one of the players had the coronavirus right before the beginning of the game, it was discovered. And there was panic in the arena. And I, it was kind of weird because I'm going, what's going on here? And I felt the Lord nudging me a little bit in that. Because at that point, we had no idea it would happen like it has, right? And I remember seeing one player with a tattoo, and I'm not a tattoo lover, as you can tell, but he had this beautiful tattoo of a stairway to heaven with this light and the words of the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And I go, that's interesting. And it's not a player I really like that much, one of the balls. Anyway, but I was really struck by that. And I felt the Lord saying, that's going to be the most important message of this whole game is right there. Because watch what's going to happen. And ever since then, right, we've seen what has happened. And then later, just a few minutes later, it didn't come from up here, I felt this inward, very strong pull. Just breathe. Breath is so important. What? And you mentioned that in your sermon last week, that when this virus blows away. And that's what I thought the Lord was leading me to, but it wasn't that. It's really weird. And he was like, where does life come from? I said, from you, Lord. And then I thought about that. I thought about what led to Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Job 33 was a verse on Caleb this past week. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. From Ezekiel, the vision of the dry bones. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And now looking back, I never thought about ventilators some few weeks ago, but recently they've become very important, right? Where people can no longer breathe on their own. And people who've had pneumonia or the flu or the virus struggle for one breath. And it's difficult to breathe. And I felt like the Lord saying, I'm going to breathe into people. I am the breath of heaven. I am the breath of life. Breathe in me. And he will give us new life. So life comes from breath, right?
Amen.
You got to eat. You got to drink. You got to breathe. If you don't breathe, there's not life for very long. And we see that with people struggling to breathe. In the same way spiritually. Jesus, on the first Easter, he said, the Bible says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So in a day and age where people are worried, many, about taking their next breath and being able to breathe, the Lord says, continue to live in me. And I will breathe new life into the church, new life with extreme revival, and he will bring that life, the breath of God. So in this Colossians text, it talks about continue to live in him. And the only way we can live in God is as he continues to breathe in us, right? So come, Holy Spirit. Breathe in us new life, revival, restoration. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So the Bible says, continue to live in him. We're going to talk about that over and over because it's so easy to forget it. Continue to live in the risen Christ. Continue to walk in Jesus Christ. Don't stop. What's very sad for pastors is that many, many times we see people all excited and they have to go through the fundamentals and they're up here in weeks. We're excited for them and they're excited too. And they say those vows and promises we say around the altar. And then gradually as tribulation and heartache and disappointment and setbacks and relapses happen and life, real stuff happens to them, they, not all the time right away, but gradually absent themselves, right? And I don't know about you, but with this social distancing, it's made me appreciate going to the jail. When I would times I would be, I'm awful tired. It's Friday night. I don't feel like going. Boy, do I regret those comments I made now. It makes me appreciate the time we have together when we could come together. But it does make me appreciate, I never thought I'd say this, technology and Zoom. That was fun Wednesday night, having our Bible study on Zoom. To have a pastor from Montana, to have Tim from Illinois joining us was a great thrill, wasn't it? Now, I still haven't learned how to schedule a meeting. I still got to learn that, Donna or David or somebody. But at least I know how to join a meeting and did that and really enjoyed it. So, and we could have communion together, right? We could worship together, fellowship together. And yes, even hear Pastor Rick's jokes together. All right. Anyway, so thanks be to God for that. But that's part of our process of being in Christ, is we have to keep growing no matter what the devil, no matter what the world, no matter what a virus throws at us. We have to stay connected with God and with one another in one way or another. Just because when we isolate from Him and others, that is not good. It is not good, right? So we need to continue to encourage each other, live in Him. And so the text continues and says, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and build up in Him. The word rooted is radish. It comes from the word radish, redzidzo. I remember when I was back in Illinois where we had black soil, and it was a lot easier to plant things in those days, and sweet corn and tomatoes, real tomatoes. I mean, real juicy tomatoes, real sweet corn and all that good stuff. Is that the first thing I remember learning how to grow well was radishes. They were really easy. I mean, if nobody could fail back in Illinois growing radishes, just an easy thing to grow. Like, or zucchini. Everybody grew zucchini, right? You give it away. Everybody had wagons full of zucchini trying to give away, and you couldn't give it away fast enough. But it was easy because the radishes has those roots. And I remember trying to learn how to grow grass out here compared to Illinois. And, holy cow, this is nuts, this rye grass. What kind of nonsense is this? And realized real quickly about that. And planting palm trees in this soil here after coming from Illinois, I broke two shovels trying to plant palm trees in our new house. This is nuts here. I go, this is crazy. But I realized real quickly that you've got to have a deep root system, whether it be plants or grass or trees. And if you don't have deep roots for your trees and that monsoon wind starts blowing, bye-bye tree, right? There it goes, knocked over. In the same way for the Christian, we are called to be rooted in Him. So how are your roots? You don't see the roots, right? But they go, for many plants, very, very deep into the ground. Some trees will just go, they'll go for a long way, spread out all over to have a good root system. How is your root system as a Christian? And has it been tested the last few weeks? Are you growing? Are you getting closer to God through all this, or pulling away and going to old sinful habits? It's really easy for our flesh to take over and say, well, I deserve to have that drink now. This is rough. Or I deserve to do this, or I deserve to do that. And our flesh and the devil, or the world, would love to convince us, this is hard. This is too hard for you. Just give up. Well, we don't give up, right? We encourage one another in our recovery. We're all in recovery, right? We pray that God would continue to, may He encourage you right now through the Holy Spirit as He breathes new life in us to be rooted in Him. And the Bible says here, and built up. So we're called to continue to grow in the faith. We are called to continue to be rooted in Him and built up in Him. And the Greek word comes from the word where we talk about domesticated, domicile. It comes from that word where you have a house built up. All the effort we've had in the past of building our homes and our families, now is where the tough times come, where maybe we see each other a little bit too much, right, in our homes, and get tired of each other. But all the seeds we planted in being a Christian family now come to bear to have a harvest. Because we see some families getting closer and enjoying the time together. Others going, I can't stand to see that person. If I see them one more minute, I'm going to scream. We do need time alone. We do need that. But also, we need to appreciate many things that have happened that have been good the last few weeks. And one is bringing families closer, right? Being together and built up. Now, some of the problems that we've seen after storms is the, like here at our church, is the roof. We find leaky stuff and plumbing problems that we didn't know we had before the storm hit. And when the storms hit the world and our nation, and yes, Glendale, and yes, Arizona, sometimes people are going, uh-oh, I wasn't prepared for these storms. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't close to God. And now I need to be close to God. And I don't know what to do. And freaking out over it. So may the Lord, in all this, help us right now to start over. Get a new contractor. Call on the Holy Spirit. Call on Jesus, as we've talked about. We cannot build our lives. It's Christ alone, right? Say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do life like this. I need you. Come into my life and not just be the Savior of my life, but the Lord of my life. And that's what discipleship means, that Christ is Lord of our lives. We live for Him, and it's only through His life that we can move forward. So it's a strengthening the faith, as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. It's funny how some people are so crabby and others are so grateful the last few weeks. Have you noticed that? Some have been made to appreciate the simple things of life. Just being able to go to the grocery store. Or like somebody said, just going there for fun to the grocery store. Remember those days? Or not worrying about toilet paper. Or getting all excited. Oh, it's this morning. There's a big roll of toilet paper. I go, I don't need it, though. It's like, oh, man, now it's there. And a part of me said, get it. I go, no, I don't need it. Somebody else can have it. But it's so weird how things change in our perspective in just 1 month, right? And we get grateful for the simplest of things, which we ought to be grateful for. Just having lights come on. Our air conditioner that works, especially now it's getting warmer, right? Being able to find food. Being content with the simple things of life. Just going out on the patio and being able, yes, to breathe. And breathe freely. And by the way, in Touchstone, we do this a lot. When our families are getting so stressed out, whether it be the parents or the kids, and our boss would tell us when we get that way about our families, breathe. Yeah, I know. No. One time she pulled me in her office and said, "Now, Perry, breathe." I am. No, you're not. You're shallow breathing. You're all worried about your families. Deep breaths. So she would have me do this deep breathing, and it does work. And you may want to try that right now at home, okay? Take a deep breath, everybody. Hold it in for a few seconds. Now exhale it slowly. Another deep breath. Hold it. Breathe it out. One more time. Breathe in deep. Hold it. Breathe out slowly. Feels better, right? Just that will help people with stress. It really will. It's not new age. It's not weird. We just take deep breaths, because when we hyperventilate or we get all hyper and take shallow breaths, we don't get enough oxygen, and we need that breath of God. It gives us new life. So we're rooted. We're built in Him. We're overflowing the thankfulness. And then the warning. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. You can see deceptive philosophy not just in the world, but you can see it in the church, of basic traditions. Well, this is the way we've always done it this way before. And someone said tradition is what you have when the Holy Spirit, traditionalism is what you have when the Holy Spirit leaves the building. Well, you have all the traditions and all what we used to do, but forgetting why and what the power was behind those great hymns of the past or great traditions that used to be so important to people. And so we're called not to be focused on the worldly views, the world philosophies, the world's way of coping with COVID-19, but rather with the Lord. With COVID, COVID, Robert talked about this. Think of it this way. Christ overcoming viruses and infectious diseases, right? But if the way we look at things determines whether we're going to freak out, and myself included, whether it's going to be a fear of faith. Are we going to trust in God that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death with viruses all around me, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we're called to watch out for the worldview and the, even in the religious point of view, religious traditions that aren't built on Christ. There's an old fable about a wise guy who thought he was all that and loved to argue with people. Have you ever known somebody just loves to be the devil's advocate and just take the opposite viewpoint, right? Every time. It's got all, yeah, but what about this? Raising questions and doubts in people. Well, this philosopher went up to a centipede and says, "Ah, Mr. Centipede, have you really thought about analyze how do you get all those little feet to work at the same time? I mean, how come you don't trip over them? I mean, you've got all these feet, all these little legs going. How do you do that? Have you thought about that?" He goes, "No, it just works." "Well, maybe you should think about that. Analyze it. How do you do that?" Next thing you know, the centipede had trouble walking. The legs were over one another, and he goes, "How did I do that?" And he started to get paralyzed. All because the philosopher just said, "Have you really looked at that? Have you analyzed that?" And that's what man-made philosophy from the devil will do to people in recovery, or all of us, get us all messed up, fill doubts in our mind. When the devil tried to attempt Jesus, did Jesus argue with the devil and say, "You know, let's debate about that, Satan"? No, he said one thing. The Word. He says the Word. He quoted Scripture of the devil. Didn't argue with him. Didn't debate him. Just said, "The Word says, thus says the Lord." We have that same Word to say back to ourselves and to one another and to the world. "Thus saith the Lord." This is the Word says this. The Word says that. Because of all that we've talked about, that's all in Christ alone. Verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." It is impossible to overstate this verse. I don't have the words, I don't have the power to communicate to you how powerful these words are. All I can say is read it for yourself, meditate, really meditate on each word slowly in those verses, and let the Holy Spirit communicate to you how powerful Jesus is, how awesome He is, how beautiful He is, how worthy He is of all our worship and praise, because He is all that and more. He is all that, right? In Christ alone. So it says all the fullness of the deity, every bit of the Godhead is in Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. Jesus isn't part God, a little bit of God. He's all God and all man. He's all of it. He's all in all. He is our all in all. We can't overemphasize Jesus Christ. He is Lord, He is King, and He is over all. And He is the head over every power and authority, whether it looks like it, whether it feels like it or not. One day we will see Him in all His glory, and every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. He is King and He is Lord of lords. Amen. He is the head over all. And it says, "You have been given fullness in Christ." What? We have been given fullness. If we're empty, what's the problem? We're not connecting with Jesus, not getting filled with Jesus. We always say it, right? We need more Jesus. And they can get over. People can kind of turn us off. Like, yeah, we know that. No, really. We really need Him more than ever now, right? We need Jesus Christ. And the world needs Him. The song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, that's true, but it's God's love. What the world really now needs now is Jesus' sweet love, you know, who died on the cross for us, and we'll talk about that. "In Him," He says, "you were also circumcised and putting off of sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He is alive and He is well. And I think I saw this on a sign you guys had at your house, Romans 6. Did I see that, Romans 6? At Ricky's house. Because the truth, and we had a professor at the seminary in Fort Wayne that was really awesome, and he focused on this. He said, "Remember, you have been crucified with Christ. You have been buried with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. And remember who you are in Christ. And Romans 6 is very similar to this section. And it uses an accounting term of reckoning and considering and putting aside and putting in the category of realizing who we are in Christ. And when the word, and you've mentioned this too before, Pastor, in Christ or in Him is an abbreviation of this, being crucified, buried, and raised with Christ. It's all in Him. As we're connected with Jesus in His death and resurrection, that's where the power is. That's where the fullness is. If we try to do church, be a Christian on our own power without Jesus Christ, without being abiding in Him, it ain't going to work. But if we remember and tell ourselves, I've been buried with Christ, I've been crucified with Christ, and I've been raised with Christ. So who's the power? Is it me? Who has the life? Who has the breath? It's Jesus in me that gives me the power to do what He calls me to do, not me trying to do it for God. That's very important as we talk about discipleship, talk about recovery from our addictions. You've got to rely on Jesus. Don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on other people. Rely on Him. He's always there. Right? And because of His death, we talk about He really nailed it. Well, God really nailed it when He sent His Son to the cross, right? That cross became a symbol of victory because in Jesus, our sins were taken away. It says, when you were dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. And He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And it'll be so nice when we have our Good Friday later on in the year, whether June or whatever, when we do have that time, that wonderful, magnificent moment where we write down our sins, we nail it to the cross, we take the cross out, the sins, the cards out there, and burn our sins. And we feel that wonderful relief of our sins being forgiven and all our sins being canceled and being stamped paid in full. And then we realize and we remember that our sins are all our sins. And as Pastor says many times in Spanish, todos pecados, all our sins. Not just some of them, all of them have been washed away. All of them have been taken away. That's the gospel. The law condemns, but the law doesn't have power. But the gospel gives us the power to live for Him. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God. All right, and it says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is using a military term. Many times the victorious general would take all the losers, the prisoners, and he would drag them. They would be brought in this military parade where you'd have the band and the soldiers, the winning team, and you'd have all the losers, and they'd drag them out half naked in front of everybody, making fun of them and making a public spectacle of the losing side to remind them who is the victor. Well, Jesus did that on the cross. He said, it is finished, in a loud voice, not like he could barely say it. He said, it is finished, telestai. And what did He do on the third day? He rose again from the dead. And He went down to heaven, to hell rather, and He showed them that He was the victor. He didn't go down to hell that moment to suffer. He went down to hell in that moment to proclaim victory, that He's won. There was a way back when a battle on the seas, and it was kind of scary as to who was winning. And then this fog came in, and they were trying to get a signal from a ship across the way. And they saw it, and it said, Wellington defeated. And the army saw that, and oh no, it's over, we've lost. And then the fog cleared, and it said, Wellington defeated the enemy. And maybe we are in a time, or some of us, or the people in the world I know, are thinking, Christ defeated. Virus wins. The virus is going to take over. Our lives are gone. It's all hopeless. And with the fog of this world clouding our thoughts and our minds and especially our emotions, we didn't see the rest of the story, the rest of the message. Christ defeated our enemies. Christ defeated death. Christ defeated the devil. Christ defeated all our enemies, and He is the winner. And as we are connected to Him, we're on the right side as we stay close to Him. Finally, Andrew Murray has a great devotion, and he talks about the fact that no matter what happens in life, we need to continue to be attached to Jesus. And he said this, "Let each day have its value from your calling to abide in Christ. As its light opens on your waking eyes, accept it on these terms. A day, just one day only, but still a day, given to abide and grow up in Christ. Whether it be a day of health or sickness, joy or sorrow, rest or work, struggle or victory, let the chief thought with which you receive it in the morning, thanksgiving, be this. This is a day the Father has given, and I must become closely united to Jesus and hang on to Jesus." There was an old hymn from the old Lutheran hymnal with old words and old music, but great words, that said, "I walk in danger all the way. The thought shall never leave me that Satan, who has marked his prey, is plotting to deceive me. This foe with hidden snares may seize me unawares if e'er I fail to watch and pray. I walk in danger all the way. I pass through trials all the way, with sin and ills contending. In patience I must bear each day the cross of God's own sending. Oft in adversity I know not where to flee. When storms of woe my soul dismay, I pass through trials all the way. Death doth pursue me all the way. Nowhere I rest securely. He comes by night, he comes by day, and takes his prey most surely. A failing breath, and I in death's strong grasp may lie, to face eternity for aye. Death does pursue me all the way. However, I walk with angels all the way. They shield me and befriend me. All Satan's powers held at bay when heavenly hosts attend me. They are my sure defense. All fear and sorrow hence, unharmed by foes, do what they may. I walk with angels all the way. I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within His wounds I find a stay when Satan's power assails me. And by His footsteps led, my path I safely tread. In spite of ills that threaten me, I walk with Jesus all the way. My walk is heavenward all the way. Awake, my soul, the morrow, when thou shalt find release from all thy sin and sorrow. All worldly pomp be gone. To heaven I now press on. For all the world I would not stay. My walk is heavenward all the way." And I think all this virus stuff is leading people to look to heaven, right? Our life is not here on earth. Our permanent home is not here. We have no guarantees except this. Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And all that we can say except, amen. Christ is the victor. Amen. Yeah.